And welcome to Eclipsed with the Sun and the Moon. I'm the Sun.
I guess I'd be the Moon.
I guess you would.
And I'm about to eclipse you.
Oh, what does that mean?
I don't know, but
welcome to Grounded with Brandon and Craig. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Craig.
That's right.
I do kind of like being the Moon, though.
You do?
That's kind of like it's kind of like Indian terminology, isn't it? You, we call you the Sun.
Brendan Sun.
I will be called the Moon.
Craig Moon.
Not Craig Moon.
It's like, what's his name, Moon from Sing. Mr. Moon, the director. Anyways.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a cartoon movie.
Okay.
Yeah. My kids watch it all the time. But
oh, my gosh. So, welcome to Grounded, the Eclipse, whatever we're talking about. So, are you you going to stand out this afternoon? Here's my question. You going to stand out and watch the eclipse without your glasses, looking at the sun so you can go crazy?
I'm going to stand out and watch the eclipse without my glasses once it hits full totality.
Okay.
Because that's safe.
Okay.
But you don't go crazy. He said that yesterday in the sermon.
Well, I heard you went crazy.
It was like, you'll go blind.
But if you go blind, wouldn't that drive you crazy?
It's driving me crazy.
Okay.
You're welcome.
So, so you don't go crazy, you go blind.
You could go blind.
But
I think
if you go blind, wouldn't that drive you crazy?
It would drive me crazy.
So, it's crazy blind,
crazy
right?
Blind.
Or blind crazy. And then, last week, this guy pulls up, Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart, and he starts, playing this over
every
and over.
And then I get a little bit lonely, and you never come around. That's a good song.
Yeah, but
that's a weird video.
It's very weird. I mean, it was the 80s.
Everybody
was on drugs and,
oh yeah,
the music industry was crazy.
Turn around bright eyes.
How about this? Is what I've been putting up with since literally last Wednesday.
It's not false. That is a true statement.
He started off with the video. He started, and then we listened to the song 100 times.
I listened to it once.
Okay. 10 times.
Maybe twice.
10. And then, and then he started singing it, like walking through the hallways, like looking at me. He's like putting his hand under my chin and calling me Bright Eyes. I'm like, what is going on here, bro?
Every now and then I was falling in love. Now I'm only falling apart. That's one of those songs that once it's in your head, it's like the song that never ends. You just can't get it out.
For you.
Right?
I can't get out of it because you won't let me.
You're living in like the Twilight Zone.
I am living
my
in
Twilight
Brandon
Zone.
Brandon Chenault and Bonnie Tyler Twilight Zone. This is crazy.
That's right. Yeah. So
you got big plans for the eclipse. As
we're gonna watch it. Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah.
Then what do you do? You're just gonna get like a recliner and
I think so.
Look back in the sky. What's gonna be your
yeah? I'm
your
just
go-to?
Gonna just gonna I may make a pot of coffee and sit there and I. Speaking of, great segue. We are drinking.
Let's go off the gravel road here. We're drinking coffee
yes. From Hemisphere, and it is made specially for the eclipse. Apparently,
oh gosh, here we go. Total eclipse of
it's full totality is the name of the coffee.
What's the name of that 80s song that Bonnie Tyler sang? What is it? Total eclipse of
the heart.
Yeah, is that it?
We just sang it.
I know.
Are you okay? Did you look into the sun already this morning?
I'm going crazy. I was like, all right, so back to the coffee. Total
anyway,
eclipse.
So it's called Full Totality. It is April 2024. It's a special blend that Hemisphere put out. It is a combination of dark and light roast. So it's full
it's like
totality.
Like the sun and the moon.
Like the sun and the moon.
Is that what they did it for? The
yes.
Sun and the moon?
Well, just
so, like,
the eclipse, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then to bring everything full circle.
Ba-dum-tsh.
The shot of espresso we had this morning was also Hemisphere. It was Hunter Blend.
Really?
Yeah.
So we didn't go the...
We didn't go Waking the Neighbors.
Waking the Neighbors.
No.
Okay,
we
gotcha,
still got
gotcha.
Plenty of it though, so.
Perfect.
Plenty that's more.
It actually was very good, and it was Willie approved.
Willie approved, yep.
Yeah, Willie approved. Not Nelson.
No, Stolzfus.
Yes. So I just want to let you guys know that Willie Nelson was not here this morning, but his cup is here.
Yeah, we don't want sued by him. He's like, I didn't approve that coffee.
Exactly. So not Willie Nelson. So just make sure you guys understand
but,
that. Although if Willie was
I
here.
I bet he would approve it.
I wouldn't. If Willie actually pulled up in his boss, would you set up another mic and we'd podcast with Willie?
Yeah, Willie
we
and
would
I
not be out of here. I guarantee we'd still be past the eclipse.
Oh yeah, Willie and I would probably sing Total Eclipse of the Heart together.
You know, I bet he would do it with you.
Every now and then I was falling in love. Now I'm only falling apart.
Now you're not going to be able to get that out of your head all day.
Nothing I could do.
Oh, guys, can I just ask for this? Help me.
Help me.
Help me. I'm begging you. Help me. Save me. Get, help me. Help me.
I got extra sleep last night, I think.
Did you?
I'm running on extra sleep.
Oh, my word.
You know, my watch will tell me how much I got.
Of course your watch will tell you that. So, great coffee. Yep. I really like it.
So, yeah. So are you going to watch the eclipse, or are you just going to be like, are you going to be driving down the road in your glasses? There's public safety announcements saying don't drive with those glasses on.
I gotta be honest, first time I ever put those on were yesterday at the beginning of the second service, and literally I felt like Ray Charles. I couldn't see
anything.
He's like,
whoa, you can't see anything. I really it's like, yeah, that's the point.
Like, there was nothing. You couldn't see anything. That was crazy.
I want a video of you riding your bike with those on.
Yeah, right. That would be
on the Jim Simmons trail.
Oh my gosh, with all those curves and turns, I'd be like right? somewhere in the boondocks.
You'd be in the creek.
Exactly. So, besides, the Bonnie Tyler and the coffee and your, you know, all the other stuff going on, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
I got 8 hours and 45 minutes worth of sleep last night.
Wow.
Went to bed early.
Look at you.
Yeah. So I'm feeling great. And now I'm getting coffee in me.
And that's why you're singing and...
That's right. I mean, I'm always singing. You know me. No, things are going good. It was a good weekend. Good day yesterday. The weather is starting to turn.
Oh, yes, yes.
I wore a t-shirt today. Didn't even wear a jacket.
And I'm in shorts. So this is... I'm finding my happy place. And the thing about it is that today could possibly be one of the few days of the year that I might enjoy.
Yeah.
Possibly.
One of the 14 days of the year.
Yeah. I think I've already had one this year so far.
Yeah, so we're down to 13.
Down to 13.
Maybe 12 after today.
Literally. I'm telling you, a handful of times I do enjoy the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I'm either complaining it's too hot, too cold, too muggy, too whatever. Windy, rainy, wet.
And that is why he has to endure me singing random songs, because I have to endure him complaining
about
the weather.
I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that. So I'll take the total eclipse of the heart, because you do have to take literally about 352 days a year of me
being Yosemite Sam.
Ratcham, fratcham, weather. I
wonder how he would sing total eclipse of the heart.
He's not even going to try. Like, you know what? No, I can't.
Not even going to try. My mustache isn't big enough.
I bet Daffy Duck could sing.
Oh, goodness.
I can't do Daffy Duck, though.
No, I was trying the other day.
Suffering Slackatash. I know that Sue Fetter is right now thinking, what are these guys doing? What did they put in their coffee today? What is going on?
We need to call Hemisphere and find out. Like, what did you guys do?
Exactly. 100%.
The coffee was a ploy to drive us nuts. They're like, hey, we'll put out this coffee, but we'll put some extra stuff in it.
There's something in this coffee. I'll guarantee it. Could be the peanut butter thing that you ate, too. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That was really good. It was like a peanut butter sheet cake. I only ate a small piece. Because I had a bagel.
Oh, this is crazy. I'm going to lose it here.
So thanks for joining us.
Exactly. Guys, we're going to bow out right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. So, yeah, it was a good day yesterday.
Oh, you know what? Before I went to bed last night, I saw something on Facebook where somebody posted and was like, turn your phone off from 12:30 to 4:30 or 3:30 this morning, because, like, there's going to be, if it's near you, there's going to be high radiation signals going through it, and it could affect you.
Maybe I've been infected. Maybe so, because my phone was on the nightstand right by my head, so.
But can you get more infected?
Okay.
Not. We're already spider webbed and went down 5 gravel roads.
Yeah, I don't know how to get back. I need a GPS.
We'll get there, but first.
Yeah.
For most, I would say probably 90% of UK fans.
Yes.
Some silver lining this morning.
This morning, yes. I didn't get this until you told me.
Coach John Calipari is looking at finalizing a deal with Arkansas to become their next head coach.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he went to North Carolina?
I'd quit following North Carolina.
Would you?
Yeah.
And this is true. This is 100% legit. 100%
true. It's really legit.
So yeah. How is he getting out of that contract, though? Do you know?
I don't know. It's probably going to be one of those things where both sides are going to give a little bit. He's not going to get as much as he deserves, because really he doesn't deserve it, because he's done an awful job. And they will pay some of his buyout because they don't want him anymore.
I wonder what that will be. I bet
it ain't going to be cheap.
I think half?
Probably.
15, 16 million buyout?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I'm anxious to find out.
Yeah, me too.
But
because right now if they had to buy him out, it was $33 million. I thought, right?
Yeah, it was a lot.
We're not $33 million is not chump change.
No,
like, can you imagine if we bought you out at $33 million?
I'd be okay with that. Is that an offer?
It could be
awesome.
I didn't see $33 million of what? $33 million Eclipse
bags
glasses
of coffee,
right?
Deal.
Sold.
So
what?
So I say they bring Tubby Smith back.
I like Tubby, but isn't Tubby like 90
getting
now?
He's getting up there.
I said that what could do is, like, I could go for 1 year and I would just do it for a cool mill.
Yeah.
And I would go in for 1 year and do it. I would like to do that for 1 year, to be the head coach of Kentucky. That would be like my dream job to do. That would be awesome.
Not a big fan of Kentucky, but can I be your assistant?
You'd be right on the bench, wouldn't you?
Yeah, would be.
You'd have to wear UK blue, bro.
I'd wear it for a year.
If they offer me the job, I'll let you know. So,
okay. I'll even be the water boy.
He'll have the entire team singing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Hey, you never know. Those guys could sing, possibly.
I bet they could.
Probably can.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, I think Kentucky is I think it's looking for a change. I think the coach is looking for a change too.
I think honestly, the coach has gotten some heat, as well as he should, because he's more worried about bringing players in who are going to come in for 1 year and go to the NBA than he is about winning national championships.
He is the greatest recruiter for the NBA.
Yes, he is.
Ever.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So
that's because Coach Krzyzewski's not with Duke anymore.
True. And then in the whole realm of Major League Baseball, I sent you a text last week. We have two players.
We as in the Cincinnati Reds.
Reds.
Talking about.
In the top, two guys are in the top, five players, highest paid Reds players aren't even playing for the team.
Not only are they not playing, now Joey Votto's one.
Joey Votto's one. He's getting $7 million.
And the other one has not played since the year Allie and I got married,
which is 2008.
Yeah.
And he's getting $3.5 million, which is
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, that's a good deal.
No wonder you see him back there.
That'd be like me, that's like me leaving. If I left here and 16 years later, I'm
still getting paid.
How awesome is that?
I need to reconstruct my contract.
Yeah. Who are these agents? I mean, right? Literally, I mean, who's your agent?
I don't have one. I need an agent.
Maybe Willie.
Okay.
Coffee drinking Willie.
Maybe. I mean, I do give him coffee every Monday.
Yeah, you do. He might agent you.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So yeah, I mean, the salaries are out of control. I just think sports is out of control. What about you? I mean, sports is totally out of control.
It's ridiculous.
And,
$8 million to coach a college basketball team.
$8 million. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's a lot of money, $8 million a year. And what is it, 30 games? I mean, I know there's practices and da-da-da-da-da and championship games and all that. So what are we talking, like 50 days out of the year?
Yeah,
I know you're doing other
they're
things.
They're doing home visits and recruiting and all that stuff.
Yeah, I know that. But still.
At that high of a level, you're paying a lot of other guys really good money to do all of those things too. And you're going to go to your top prospects.
Right.
You're not
right.
going to all of those guys. No. You're going to your top
exactly.
prospects.
Because then they send other people, you know. It's just sports is so literally out of control. So it's just it boggles my mind. Just the salaries and the money. And, you know, it's like that's just the top spectrum. I mean, it's so out of anybody's league. We can't even fathom how to deal with that. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So –
what else?
You've got family in?
I do. My grandkids came in last night with my daughter.
And they brought your daughter and son-in-law.
And my son-in-law. Yeah, they brought them along. So different thing when the, I kind of like the grandkids without the parents. Parents kind of get in the way of the enjoyment with the grandkids. I'll be honest with you.
They're
parents. What do you do? I mean, they're correcting. Like, I just want to be, you know, Nia and Papaw so we can just have fun with them. But no, you know, mom and dad there and, you know, snapping fingers, telling them no. And I'm just like, you don't have any jurisdiction here is what I want to tell them.
You can tell them it's your home.
I don't think my daughter would listen.
Probably not. Probably not. But they came over. They're going to watch the clips.
They're coming. Yeah, the clips. Yeah.
I just saved you because you were going to say something that you were going to regret if your wife listened to that.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. What is in that coffee?
Turn around, bright eyes.
Oh, my word.
Anyways.
Yeah, people were shutting this thing off.
They're going to watch the eclipse. They wanted to come over so they could see the eclipse.
Yes, they did.
That's going to be fun for your grandkids. I know my kids are looking forward to it.
Yeah. You know, anything kind of like that because it's not going to be back for a while, right?
If,
you know.
I was telling you, I was probably Christian's age, Jordan's age, when a total eclipse came through Virginia. And I still remember it like it was yesterday. Like, it was pretty neat.
Really?
Yeah.
Like
it was yesterday.
Wow.
I was at Falling Spring Elementary School.
What year was that? Like 90?
It was about 95, 96.
Okay.
I mean, it was a good year. Total eclipse. The Braves won the World Series.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So, but no, your grandkids, my kids, they'll remember it for a while. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. It should be fun. And, you know, it's just weird. It's going to be dark. Like, are we talking pitch black or just dark?
It's going to be pretty dark. I don't think it's going to be pitch black.
Okay. Well,
but I did look outside. The clouds have cleared. So that's good. Hopefully that stays true.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm anxious to see kind of what happens with like the nocturnal animals. Cause you've got like raccoons and possums and skunks and things like that. Like, are they going to think it's dark and like start to come out of the woodwork?
That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? If you guys are sitting there and a skunk comes out and sprays you. Total eclipse of the heart right there, bro.
Yeah. My wife won't let me back in my house.
Exactly.
To sleep outside.
Now, for your dog, are you, putting glasses on him or what are you going to do with him?
That'd be cool. No, I'm just going to keep him in the house. He stays in the house anyways.
Cause so I heard there's
he won't
like,
know anything different.
Like, why are people saying that your dogs have to be taken in or whatever? Cause that, will it drive them crazy?
They think that it may confuse them, I think. I don't know.
Oh.
I did see, so we were driving the other day, went down to Roadrunner Sports, and on our way out, we were at a stop sign and a stoplight, and this guy came running with a dog, and he had the, you know, like the dog leash you can wrap around your waist so your dog can run with you. This dog, it was almost like a husky or something like that, had these goggles on. Like, Allie goes, I think he's preparing his dog for the eclipse.
Oh, my word.
It was a cool-looking dog, man. With those, I was like, I need a pair of those for Jasper. Could you see me and Jasper running on the trail?
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I don't think he could outlast me.
No, but I bet he could look better in your glasses, though.
Oh, absolutely. I got to find some of those
dog glasses.
Dog glasses.
That's funny. So, we did have a pretty good day yesterday.
It was good, yeah.
We had, well, they sang well and,
mm-hmm.
and, but they worshiped well and guys did good.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good day. New series we started.
Yep.
And, I'm excited about this series. Obviously, kind of it strikes a chord with me.
Yeah, and I'm not even a runner.
Right. I was ready to go like run a marathon when you were done.
Right.
Like, man, that gets me excited because you were talking about endurance and,
yeah.
And there's a lot of correlation there with running and that's why Paul kind of writes about that.
Right.
But there is a lot of correlation of the endurance that it takes, the
uh-huh.
preparation that it takes, you know, the building up, you know, the preparing your body of running an actual race to your spiritual walk.
Yeah, because you can't, there's no way you can jump into a marathon, and you've been, you know, eating bags of potato chips every day and watching television and not hardly walking, then all of a sudden you're just going to jump into a marathon and think you're going to have the endurance to do that, right?
Exactly. I
mean, so that's just not going to happen, but, started off yesterday, even got you into the,
that's right.
And let everybody know that you were beat by a girl in a dress, so that was, yeah.
She was half my age.
It doesn't matter. She was in a dress.
She was in a dress.
And
she was not wearing clogs. She was wearing running shoes.
Flip-flops. And
she was wearing running shoes.
Was she wearing regular running shoes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In a dress.
So I started off yesterday and talked about a couple older people who competed in marathons. And I'm impressed. I mean, 96 years old, complete a marathon. I mean,
yeah, I was like, at that point, your time really doesn't matter, in my opinion.
No, not at all. I mean, 11 hours. I mean,
26.2 miles.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 96 impressed.
Years old. That's phenomenal.
When I'm 96, I'll probably be dead 14 years. You know what right? I mean? So it's like, kudos to the guy. And then, the other lady, her name is Gladys Burrell. She was 92, did the Honolulu Marathon, which you want to do.
I want to do the Honolulu Marathon.
Which I thought this was good. 9 hours. And
heck yeah.
That's
awesome. 92 years old.
92 years old. And, I've seen pictures of her and that picture that, I had of her. I mean, she's pretty spry looking for 92. And then there's this 38-year-old who's not as spry as Gladys. His name is Brandon Chenault.
Not as spry. It's true.
And, but he ran a, you know, half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's only 13.1 miles.
And it was an hour and 57 minutes. I've done it in an hour and 10, but anyway.
You have not. You haven't run a half marathon in your life.
Yeah, not since like 1985. Mm-hmm. I mean, total.
Yeah. So I did run. So that was actually slower than the one I ran in Columbus.
Why would I? I mean, literally, why would I want to? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah, the one I ran in Columbus last April was an hour and 52 minutes and 47 seconds. So that was faster. But the one in Amish country, a lot of hills.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt better after that one. So I've got one, the Cap City in Columbus again coming up in 3 weeks.
So you could probably do the full marathon in about what? 4.5, 5 hours?
I'm hoping to be under 4. I'd love to be closer to the 3.5, but my goal is to be under 4. We'll see. I've got a lot of training because the full marathon is not till October.
Think you can do it less than, say, 3:20?
Dude, if I do it less than 3:20, I would be ecstatic because at that point I'm pushing Boston Marathon qualification.
Okay, here's the only
for
thing
my age.
Here's what I'm asking. Is there any way possible that you can beat Jonathan Mendez's time?
Oh, I hope so.
No, I'm telling you, when you're 96.
Oh, probably not. I don't know. I mean, if I keep running, I've got that foundation built. Maybe I just keep that foundation all the way until I'm 96.
What is that, like another like 58 years or something?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. 57 years?
57 years.
50,
oh,
yeah,
man.
Something like that.
So endurance is what we're talking about, mm-hmm. basically. And, you know, for 96 years old, you need endurance. For 92, for 38, whatever.
It doesn't matter. If you're going to run that far, you need endurance. And
you need endurance.
And you need to. So here's the other part that, you know, you could go so deep with all of this. You have to fuel.
Yep.
You know, when you're in a race that long, when I'm in a, you know, in 3 weeks when I'm running the half marathon, I'm going to be fueling. I've got, little gels that, they're energy gels and some of them have caffeine in them. Some of them, you know, but they all have calories. They're about 100 calories
uh-huh.
because what happens is as you're running, your body's depleted
uh-huh.
of your, what you've stored up.
Right.
And the carbs you've eaten and all of that. And so you're depleting it. So you've got to
right.
refill that. The same is true for us in our spiritual walk.
100%.
You know, we have to refuel. And by refuel, I mean we have to dive into our Bible. We have to dig into, you know, God's Word and allow Him to fill us back up.
And don't you think that's a problem today? Because a lot of people try to live the Christian life and they're not actually, as you said, refueling on
right.
God's Word. Because we like to talk a lot. We like mm-hmm. to, I think we know more than we do. We read a lot about God, what people think about God. But are we actually reading the Word of God for what God is trying to say? Because if you
right.
aren't reading the Word, you can't listen. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
It's a whole, I like that analogy of refueling on the Word of God. And so I have probably not the best definition of endurance. I liked it at the time. This is why I picked it. It said the fact or the power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way.
Mm.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because endurance isn't pleasant sometimes.
Yeah, no, not at all. I was actually watching a video last night of a very elite runner. He's from Ireland, I think. Ireland? But he's trying to qualify for the Paris Olympics coming up.
Okay.
And he was talking about that and the fact that, you know, you've got to put in the volume. You've got to run
right.
long runs so that your body is, you know, knows what it's doing when it comes to race day. He was like, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pleasant. There are going to be days where you want to quit, where you want to stop your run early. You've got to he didn't really, I don't know that he used the word endure, but that's what he was saying. Like, you have to have endurance. You have to push through because it's not always going to be just a walk in the park.
No.
It's not always going to be smooth sailing.
Well,
it's going to be difficult.
I mean, even if you just take running out of the equation, you like baseball season's on.
Exactly.
I mean, when people call the dog days of August.
Oh man, yeah.
It's because your endurance level is starting to slip down a little bit. And what I have found out about baseball players today as opposed to say when I was younger is the endurance level isn't as high. And I mean, we have some really talented athletes that play, but if you check out like some of their batting averages, one of the guys that used to play for the Reds, his name's Jay Bruce. Do you remember him?
Yep.
Start off strong. I mean, you figured by the All-Star break, this guy's going to hit 70 home runs and he tanks in the end of July, August, and September. He's literally run out of endurance, because it has worn on him. And so,
so what you're saying is our guys today are soft compared to the guys of the past.
I think so, but I don't think that they're trained to be,
and that's what endurance.
It's even like, Major League Baseball pitching. They're only, like starters are only trained to go 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a starter, we're trained to go 9 innings. And,
And you see so many more injuries now with pitchers.
Yeah.
You know, their elbow injury, shoulder injury, having to have surgeries. I think a lot of that goes back into your prep too.
It's throwing in your off days.
Exactly.
And it's a long tossing. And I know for a fact that a lot of Major League Baseball pitchers today don't long toss.
Right.
And that's where the strength of your arm comes in and the endurance of your arm. I mean, there's, how many guys have you known, pitchers, can throw 100 miles an hour, but they only do it for a few short seasons. They blow their arm out.
Exactly.
And because they're not doing the things they have to do. Same with running. Same with the Christian race. We have to make sure that we're in this for the long haul.
Right.
A lot of good, swift, quick runners, but you need to be in this for the long haul. It goes back to Jonathan Mendez. Age 96, 26, 0.2 miles, 11 hours and 50 some seconds or 53 minutes or whatever. I mean, I know that sounds like a lot, but he was enduring into that.
Exactly.
He's 96.
And I can guarantee you he didn't start running at age 95.
No, not at all. He's probably been running for a long, long time. And so in James chapter 1 verse 12, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
That's good.
And I think that our example always goes back to Jesus Christ. And
absolutely.
He's the one that endured. I mean, he endured everything. I mean, he, in the face of temptation, opposition, persecution, lies, being deserted by friends, Jesus Christ, he could have given up. I mean, granted, he's God in the flesh, but he has flesh and I bet he was tempted to give up.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, you see the prayer that he prayed, if there's any other way.
Exactly.
Let this cup pass from me.
But I think, one of the things I wanted to bring up yesterday was that I think we need heroes and the heroes that we can find is in the Bible.
Yes.
And this is why I like Hebrews so well. Mm-hmm. And this is why I like our graphic that we have for the sermon series. And, I think you put Hebrews 12:1, along the shoe. Is that where?
It's along the inn.
Yeah. And, but here's what this says in Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Now, that's the verse, just the verse that's on our graphic. That is an awesome, awesome verse, I think.
Yep.
Then verse 2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin.
Mm.
That's a very good first four verses.
Very good. I feel like, so Allie and I were like, you know what? Let's go back and read Hebrews together. Yeah. So last night we read through chapter one, talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it really is just setting up the fact that, very similar almost to, Colossians, in the fact that Jesus is supreme.
Right.
You know, Jesus is, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit about how Jesus is our mark.
Right.
But that's, you know, that whole first chapter is just really setting up Jesus and putting him in his place of authority.
Yep.
And then you look here in chapter 12 and these first four verses, and that's, he's like, you know, how do you do this? Well, you do it by focusing on Jesus.
Right. And I love what he says, since we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. I mean, we're talking about, and what I said yesterday is, I feel like that, I get this image like you're in a stadium and you're not in the stands. You're actually on the field or the track.
Right.
And in the stands are like the Apostle Paul, it's Noah and Daniel and
Abraham,
Moses and Abraham and Isaac and all those guys. They're in the stand and they're the ones going, you know what? Run. Keep running. You can do this because they've been through
it. They've been there. Yeah.
And I love it because these guys are real.
Mm-hmm.
They're human. They are not fairy tales. And this is the thing I love. They made a ton of mistakes.
Right.
And they, some of them just right out sinned against God, but they endured still.
Yeah.
And they went to the next level. And I love that about them. So, but yeah, if you get a chance to read through Hebrews, do it. It's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book. I love it. Hebrews 11, 33 through 40. This is...
You pulled a page out of my book yesterday, right? Reading some longer passages of scripture.
Well, I was just going to say what they went through, but I thought, I don't know if people will believe me, so I'm going to read it right from the Bible.
Yeah, and I heard people behind me like, oh my.
Right?
Like some of this stuff is brutal.
It's brutal. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms and ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. And they shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fires, escaped the death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength, and they became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others,
here we go. That was good up to that point.
Yeah, were tortured.
Hmm.
Refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. And now this is huge for us today.
Yep.
They placed their hope, I love this, in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half.
Mm.
No, thank you. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of what? Their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God has something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us.
Right. And so that's our example. And then he goes straight from there into Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, you have to look back because of the therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that group of people.
Exactly.
Now we press on to win the prize. We press on to run the race with endurance.
So we have to strip ourselves of everything that holds us back to endure. And that's why I can't remember when I said, I don't know if it was here or later on.
I think
on,
it was here, yeah.
But where it's like, you know, you don't run a race and like, hey, I'm going to put on my big heavy winter coat. I'm going to put on combat boots. I'm going to get, you know, a bunch of stuff around my waist. You're not going to do that.
No,
there's no way you're going to do that. You're going to strip off about as anything as you can and still be decent so you can run this race to give you the endurance that you can have. So literally there is no excuse that you and I can't run this race because we haven't been sawed in half.
No.
I haven't had my back laid open.
Mm-hmm.
The worst of things that we can happen is that people talk bad about us. Big whoopty, whoopty deal. You know what I mean? It's like, we can get through that.
Yeah.
If we can't get through that, you're not going to get through what's about to come.
Exactly.
So we got to prepare ourselves. So
yep.
The thing about it is that if you feel like calling it quits, you just can't do it. And if you feel like that, I understand that. But if you live in that, then you're not reading your Bible.
Exactly.
Paul says this in Philippians 3. Verses 12 through 14, he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us.
Yeah.
It's a good verse.
So good. Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, I haven't reached it. I haven't reached perfection. So what do I have to do?
Right.
I have to press on. I have to maybe endure, but I press on to, you know, reach the prize, to win the prize.
Well, and I love the Apostle Paul's, like, whatever's happened in the past, leave it there.
It is, yeah.
You know how hard it is to leave it there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, guaranteed, we like to talk about things that's happened in our past.
Right.
And I had people yesterday, several people say, do you know how hard that is for me to forget the past?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's so hard, but Paul's saying, forget it, because it's basically what you're doing is you've strapped that to yourself during the race and you can't endure
right.
if you're lugging that around, because you got to strip yourself of everything that entangles you.
Mm-hmm.
Sin, the past, you know, whatever. So, but you know, it's funny because people like to live in their past, their hurts, right. They like to live in their abuses. And literally, I think the Christian community is as bad as the world. We just can't get over anything.
Exactly.
We can't get over anything. So Paul's saying, forget it. Like, leave it alone and press toward the prize that, that God is calling you to do, because, correct me if I'm wrong, you can't run forward.
Nope.
With your head looking backward.
Nope.
Can you? Is it possible?
Oh, yeah. I mean, eventually, like I about rolled my ankle in Marysville getting on a sidewalk there last week, and I was looking ahead, but I was looking straight ahead, not looking down where my feet were landing.
Right.
You know, and so that's the thing. I think there are times where you can definitely use what's happened in the past to fuel you and to motivate you, as long as you don't allow it to weigh you down.
Right.
But you can't dwell there. You can't live there and like allow it to weigh you down and cause strife in your life. You know, if you use it, like I look back at the 2 half marathons I ran last year, you know, good experiences. I was broke after my first one, was not prepared the way I thought I was. You know, I'm going to take that and I'm going to use that. I've got kind of goals in mind for this right. next one in 3 weeks. But I'm like, you know what? That is what it is. I'm a different person now a year later.
Right.
Running, you know, my third half marathon than I was running my first half marathon. So that was what it was. I can't let what kind of broke me in that race break me again, because you know what? I'm a different person.
Right.
Because I've pressed on.
Exactly.
I've put more training in. I've got a bigger foundation now. And
right.
so bang, you know, that was what it was. Now
right.
let's move on.
Right. Exactly.
And I think we have to do the same thing in our personal lives
right.
too. When someone offends us or hurts us or maybe even sins against us.
Right.
You know, you cannot change that.
No.
So let's, you know, take it and move forward. Forget it. Forget what's in the past. You know, if you can use it to help fuel something for God, you know, and for good, then okay, as long as you're not dwelling in it and bringing it up and causing, you know, animosity or resentment
but
or whatever.
Problem is, like, a lot of Christians, like, they're, you know, they're kind of like Santa Claus. They're keeping a list. They're checking it twice.
Correct.
And they're holding it against you.
Exactly.
And it's a sad, sorry, sort of affairs for us as a follower of Christ if we get into that, because you can't live in the past. And so if you read prior to the verses that mm-hmm. I just read, Paul talks about what a great Jew he was. He talks about how he kept the laws of God and what a great Pharisee he is. He's the best.
I was the best.
Of it all. And, I love that, because he's like, he's talking about the past, but he's also now talking about even the good that I have done.
Yeah.
And then Philippians 3:7-8, he says, but I once thought these things were valuable, but I now consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, I lost my place. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything, counting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's like, you know, look, I attained these things. I did that. And I thought it was valuable, but now they're worthless because of what? Not because of what I did, but because of what Christ has done for me.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's all about Christ. I love the Mark Batterson quote. He says, when it comes to forgetting the past, it's not just forgetting the mistakes. It's about forgetting the good you've done. If you focus on either of those things, you will miss what God is about to do in your life. Because when we focus on the good we've done too, then it becomes on the good we've done. Well, look
exactly.
at what I did, and I attained that, and I, And it's not, you know, you go back to that verse from Paul in Philippians, it's what Christ has done.
Exactly.
Not what I've done.
Yesterday I said that, you know, sometimes the good that we've done can become idolatry almost.
Right.
We're so caught up in what we've done, like you just said. We can do that as a Christian. Look what I've done. Look what, you know, look what I've said. Look what I've taught. Look what I've saying. We do all this stuff. We exalt ourselves and we almost exalt ourselves over God. And we can do that. We can do that as a church too.
Exactly.
Where we get logged into the good that we've done in the past. You know, we can get logged into that we built a building 30 years ago or we bought property or we did this 30 years ago, but we get so logged into what we've done that we're focused on the past. We can't look toward the future. Now, here's the thing. I love growing up when I did in the 70s with baseball, the Big Red Machine. But here's the thing. That's the past. Right. And you can't live there. I love to live there because that was great. That was awesome.
Right.
But that's not the reality of today. You know what I mean? Because today's a different look, a different game. Mm-hmm. And as much as I hate to admit it, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, because you can never go back there.
Right.
You can, like you said, you can look back and you can be like, okay, that was a great time.
Yeah.
But you can't like compare that, you know what I mean? And so that's what we do sometimes as Christians.
Right.
Almost becomes, you know, like,
right.
Idolatry at mm-hmm. times. So when you do good for the kingdom from your heart, God can use that to exalt himself.
Right.
And here's the thing, I think we need to remember. God can take all of your sins and all your mistakes and all the things that you've ever done and he can fix those through the blood of Jesus Christ, but yep. he can't do anything about your idolatry of yourself.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that because you're set in stone.
It's on you, yeah.
In that. So we can't let anything come before God ever, right?
Right.
Ever.
Right. And that's what, you know, you read Ecclesiastes 7:13-14. Accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, and it doesn't say if hard times strike.
Right.
It says when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. Remember that nothing is certain in this life.
And basically what he's saying there is that things aren't going to be easy in the Christian life.
You have to endure.
You gotta endure. And, you know, if you could just pray, read your Bible and fast and serve and tithe and everything would turn up great, here's what would happen. You would get so caught up in what you've done that you wouldn't give God the glory. But
right.
if you are serving and tithing and helping and, you know, doing all these things and you're still enduring and you're still going through tough times, you're going to give the glory to God because he's the one that's getting you through that.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. And so I know you have to get rid of all the things of your past, the good and the bad. And, you've got to leave space for God to work in your life. And so I threw this scripture in because I love this. It's Isaiah 43 verses 16-19. And this is, he says, I am the Lord. So this is God talking. He said, who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the Red Sea. And I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses. And I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned and their lives were snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. And so I'll stop right there. So we all know the story of that. That's the mm-hmm. Israelites going across the Red Sea and the Egyptian army's coming after them and God closes the Red Sea over them. So verse 18, this is awesome. God says, but forget all that. Like, don't dwell on that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about right. to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. I mean, God's like, yeah, that was awesome. But guess what? Forget all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on what you need
right.
to do. And so I think that happens in our personal life as a Christian and even as a church.
Yeah.
We dwell on something that is really good. And I think God's telling, you know, forget all that.
Forget
don't
that.
Land
Let,
there.
Let's see what I can do now in yeah. this moment.
There's always something else that God right. wants to do in our life. So,
yeah.
I kind of switched gears a little bit and said, have a question. What is sin?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to look at all this, you know, and because the word sin, which I didn't really know this until a few weeks ago.
This is good.
Yeah. The word sin in the Greek comes from the term archery, and it literally means to miss the mark.
Yeah.
And that's true, isn't it?
So, and I've actually likened, I didn't know that, and I took a year of Greek, but I didn't know that the word sin came from archery to miss the mark. But I've talked about that before in the fact that It exactly is like that. I shoot archery, both hunting and 3D and target archery. And when you're shooting, say, at a target, you have what in the very middle is the bullseye, right? Uh-huh. And so we've got, like, we'll shoot, say Vegas, and it's got three different little bullseyes, and you've got, you know, your 10 ring, your X, your 10 ring, and then it goes out 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Right.
And so the farther away you go, you miss that mark. Your goal is to shoot a 300, to hit, you know, 10 ends, 3 arrows, 10 every single time.
Right.
I'm not that good. I can't do that. Some guys that I know shoot really well, way better than me, and they can do that way more often than I can, which I can't. I don't think I've ever done it, so that's way more often than I can. But anyways, so what happens, though, I think, as Christians, but that's what we need to do. Like, we're aiming. God has given us a bullseye to hit.
Right.
And we have to aim for that bullseye. But what happens is we, as Christians, we get satisfied with taking and pulling up a shotgun and shooting that at the target.
Right.
And these little pellets are going to come out and bang. And they're going to hit the target.
Right.
Some of them are not going to hit the target. They're going to be off the paper completely. Right. Some of them are going to be in the white, which is 0 points.
Right.
Some of them are going to be in the 5 and the, you know, the 8 and the 10. They're going to hit.
Right.
But it's just going to be a scattered pattern. And we're satisfied with that. It's like, oh, well, I hit the target.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we're missing the mark of where God has called us to be.
And so sin is missing the mark,
right,
which the mark then is, we've already said, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is our mark. He's the mark every time. So, and I think sometimes what happens, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we worry about our actions and we forget that Jesus is the mark. Jesus mm-hmm. is the target.
And sometimes we just become happy with getting close. I was close.
Exactly. So
I was close.
Yesterday I said, if Jesus is the mark, and I told people to hang with me.
Yep.
If Jesus is the mark and say not purity. Because sometimes we're like, oh, I gotta be pure.
Right.
I gotta be holy. And I get that. We do have to do that.
And this is a great point.
If Jesus is the mark and not purity, then I don't aim at purity or holiness. Who do I aim at?
Jesus.
I aim at Jesus.
And guess what follows?
His blood will work out my purity and my holiness and everything goes with it. Because if you continue to sin in the same sin over and over again, your focus is that sin. So you have to realize something. I know people fall and they have certain things that they're tempted with and they give in. So, you know, let me be honest. Like, it's a pornography. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be, I don't know what it is, but you fall off. And so you're like, oh, God, help me not to do this again. Help me not to do this again. You're focused on that
one thing
and you're not focused on Jesus. You're focused on trying to make things right,
right,
which you can never do by yourself.
Right.
And you're not looking at Jesus. You're looking at the sin and not Christ. So, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and I love this, and I'm using this over the next few weeks. It's let God transform you into a new person by what?
Changing
the way you think. And then you're going to learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So if your target is Jesus, that changes your mindset.
Correct.
So it's Jesus now. It's not holiness, it's not purity. So here's what you pray. It's like, Holy Spirit, keep my eyes on Jesus today. Help me to keep my eyes on the mark. You might have to pray that several times, actually.
Right.
So that's really important to look at, because Jesus is the mark.
Right. Yeah, I love what Dallas Willard says.
That's pretty simple today.
Very simple, very easy to understand. He says, and listen to this, you can't reduce sin to mere action. How often do we do that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I missed the mark because of my actions.
Yeah.
You can't reduce sin to mere actions. Once it's manifested, it's too late. Every sin starts in your mind. Your thought pattern has been warped. And that's why Romans 12, 2 says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
And so we worry about the sin sometimes.
Right.
We worry, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. You get so caught up. You get worried about this. And I think, I think what happens is we are so close, but close is not hitting the mark, right?
Right.
You're not hitting the mark.
I'm close.
Yeah. You're not hitting the mark. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. Because I'm telling you, there's Christian after Christian after Christian who's trying to handle their sin and manage their sin on their own, and you're doing it without trying to hit the mark of Jesus Christ. And you got to hit the mark every time. This says, tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bible is simple if we would just follow it.
Right.
But we don't.
Right.
We complicate it and we dilute it and we water it down or we make it more complicated than what it actually is.
And then there are times where it's like, you know, we think like for that situation there, it's like, ah, that's too small for God. He's got bigger things to worry about. I'll just handle this on my own.
Right.
At least that's our way of justifying it.
So here's the thing. If Jesus is the focus, then you don't have to worry about the sin, right?
Right.
And so therefore you can, let's strip off every sin that holds me back because I'm focused on Jesus Christ at this point. So, and again, how do we do this? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We do this by what?
Keeping our eyes on Jesus.
He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And I love that. By keeping my eyes on Jesus, He is the mark every time.
Yeah. And then follow it up with that in Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin.
And so the question I ask is, how does this race work? How does it work? 1 Corinthians 9, 23 and 24. He says, I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. And so he's talking about, here's what we do. We're running the race. We're spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're running to win. But I don't see that a lot in the Christian community.
Right.
I see us barely running, apathetically.
Mm-hmm.
We're not running to win, and we're not really spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So what are we doing? I mean, so if we're going to be in the race, then get in the race.
Exactly.
You know, you can't be in a marathon. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can't be in a marathon by sitting and watching it on the sidelines or kind of jogging every few minutes with them along the way. You may be jogging along with them, but you're not in the race. And I think that's what a lot of Christians try to
do. Well, and even most marathons have cutoff times. The half marathon I'm running in 3 weeks has a cutoff time. And if you get past that cutoff time, like you have to move to the side of the road and you can finish, you know, your race. But they're going to open the backup traffic, and so traffic's going to be, you know, flowing down the roads again. Like, you have a cutoff time. Like, you can't just...
What's the cutoff time?
I can't remember on a half. I think it's like 5 or 6 hours. Okay. 6 hours, maybe.
That's pretty good.
I think it's 6 hours, yeah. Unless I blow a quad, I shouldn't be close to that.
Dude, I think if you were in a wheelchair, you could get... through 6 hours.
Probably. But that's, you know, to your point is, you know, we do that. We do just, you know, kind of apathetically run, you know, we run to win the prize. That's like the 5K we ran in Marysville back on March 17th, 16th, whatever it was, after we ate Texas Day Brazil the night before. Wow. I went in for a couple of goals in mind. I wanted to run the fastest 5K that I'd ever run. I really wanted to be sub 20. I didn't come close to that. I was 22.
Without bringing up filet mignon from the night before, right?
And I didn't bring up filet mignon, so that was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I ran 22:41. I was in the top 10 out of 280 some runners. That was a win.
But one was a girl in a dress.
Okay, that was not true. One was a 15-year-old high school girl that just ran a 5 minute and something mile for North Union. She's torching right now. But I was in the top 10. I was in ninth. And I was like, awesome. I thought for sure, I got this in the bag for my age group. I thought I would be at the top, and everybody that finishes first in their age group got a prize. I finished second in my age group. And so for me, it was like, oh man, I finished top 10 and I still didn't finish first in my age group.
Right.
Like I went in with that goal in mind of like, okay, I'm not just going to kind of nonchalantly run this and have a good time. I still had a good time.
So what am I hearing here? You're of the adage that you needed to get a trophy just for showing up or?
No. I wanted the bundt cake prize.
I know you did. I know you did. I
wanted that bundt cake prize. But that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
We have to run the race and that's what Paul is saying.
To win.
Run to win. Give it your all. Give it everything you've got. Because guess what? At the end of this life, something better is coming. At the end of the race, something better is coming.
Well, that's why, you know, you look at like even athletes today, like, I mean, and even of the yesteryear, I mean, like if you look at Pete Rose,
yeah,
I mean, the guy played to win.
Gave his all.
Like, it's like every day, every game was the last day or the last game of the World Series exactly. for him. He played it. All the games the same. That's why he was such a fan favorite. And that's yep. why he was a fan favorite in Cincinnati. And that's why if you were an Atlanta Braves fan, you couldn't stand him because
right.
he would always do something to beat you.
Exactly.
Because he had that mindset. I mean, later on, we had another player, who came years later. His name was Ryan Friel. I don't know if you remember Ryan
yep.
Friel.
Yep.
He was not as talented as Pete, but he was committed, as hard nosed.
Yeah, exactly.
And he gave it all he had. And so you look at, you know, you look at players like that, and I know there's basketball and football players yep, who are like yep. that too, where, you know, they play to win.
Yeah.
And you can tell it. They're, yeah. they're
like Michael Jordan.
Yeah. They're a cut. Yeah.
I mean,
they're turned, cut above.
He turned that button on. You couldn't stop him.
You couldn't stop him.
Because he had that mindset of a winner.
Exactly. He's
like, I'm going to just smush you under my feet.
Exactly.
Especially when he played the Monstars. In Space Jam?
Well, I heard an interview one time from Johnny Bench, and he said, are you ready? This is what he said. We were always shocked when we lost.
You expected to win.
I mean, you play 162 games a year. Like, they expected they were going to win, like, every single time,
right.
you know? And he said, we were always shocked when we lost, like, 2-1 or 3-2. Or he said, we were shocked. We were walking clubhouse. Like, how'd that happen? That should never have happened. We're so much better than that team.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a mindset that was totally different.
They had an expectation.
Exactly.
And that's where, as Christ followers, we should expect to win because of what? Who we have on our side, which is Jesus.
Right.
You know, and so when we place Jesus, and Jesus is our mark, we should be shocked when we don't
guaranteed,
you know, win.
Guaranteed, there's people who come to church every Sunday who are like, oh, I guess we should go to church today.
Right.
You know, I don't really want to do this. If that's your mentality or attitude coming to church, I wonder what that is on Monday through Saturday of how are you doing anything with God at that point?
Right.
Because isn't coming to church an extension of your weekly worship?
Exactly.
And your praise to God and
exactly.
what follows that? Church is just the add-on to what your life is. And if that's the attitude you have, then I have to question where you're at with your relationship to God, to be
right.
honest with you.
Right.
So.
Exactly. You know, moving into 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5.
This is huge.
Yes, it is. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Here we go. We don't like to hear this.
No.
Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Meaning what? Don't preach fluff. Don't preach
exactly.
what people want to hear. Tell them the truth of God's word.
Exactly.
He goes on, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Guess what? That time is here.
Exactly.
They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear.
And so what happens is we try to tailor scripture to people instead of tailoring people to the word of God.
Exactly.
And this is happening all over the Christian community. I told yesterday once a week I meet with a group of guys that, study, and most of these guys, some of them go to church, some of them don't.
Not churched.
So I was talking to this one guy and he was like, yeah, we always need to talk the truth of the scripture. And the guy was a couple seats over and he went, in love is what he yelled out. And I said yesterday, I don't know what that means.
Right.
I don't know what people mean by that anymore.
Here's
it's
what
such
that means.
A cliche.
Here's it's what like that so... means. The culture has made us feel like, well, without offending anybody.
Exactly.
And that's what they mean. Well, that's not what, and here's the deal for everybody listening to that verse we just read from 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. You can read that and think, okay, well, that's talking to preachers. No, that's talking to everybody.
Everybody.
You know, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. We all have people in our lives
right.
that God wants us to minister to, that
exactly.
God wants us to pour into. And so we have got to be ready
exactly
to tell them the truth of God. If they're out of line with
right.
what God's word says, we need to tell them that truth.
Right.
And we can do that in a way that doesn't just absolutely, because the last thing we want to do is turn them away from God completely.
Right.
You know, you can do it in a way that's so harsh where they're like, I'm not even going to talk to you anymore.
Right.
I don't even want to have anything to do with Christians now.
Right.
But you can't water it down to be like, you know, God gets you. God loves you.
Right.
God wants you to be happy. No, right. God wants you to hit the mark.
Exactly. And so basically, you're right. The culture and even the church, I mean, I see it. I see it all the time.
Yep.
They want this watered down, no consequences gospel, where they don't have to admit that they've sinned and that they need a savior. And I said that if Jesus is what? Love incarnate. So if I'm speaking the truth of Jesus Christ, then I'm speaking in love. You can't get around that. I don't care how you hear the message of the word of God.
Right.
That's going to be on you. So, you know, our culture is so woke and the church is going down that road. And I don't want us to go woke, because here's the thing. If you speak up for Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You might lose friends. You might lose your job. I know that's scary. You might lose a family member, but I'm going to tell you what, you cannot stop running the race. So, because I can't tell you how many opportunities that we've probably missed, because we were afraid of the consequences of speaking the truth about Jesus Christ, because we kind of went along to go along. And that's not running the race. If you go along to get along. So if you preach or you teach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you straight up, you're going to offend somebody.
Exactly.
And like you already said, the
guess
gospel
what?
Of Jesus.
So did Jesus.
Exactly. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not some he gets me movement commercial, like you say. That's a touchy, feely, mushy, gushy, trying to make you feel good about the way that you're living. So, hey, guess what? Live however you want. Jesus gets you. Jesus does get you, but not the way that they're saying. Because I've read what they say. Because here's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The true gospel of Christ is that Jesus died for your sins, that you are a sinner. You need to repent of your sins and make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you don't, I'm sorry, you're going to go to hell.
Exactly.
That's not some he gets me movement.
Nope.
That's not fluffy. That's not going to make you feel good. But I'm going to tell you what, it's either going to convict you or send you running off the other way.
Right. And what that's telling the world is, you know what, Jesus gets you where you are. Here's the truth, and I know I've said this before, kind of like beating a dead horse, but Jesus will meet you where you are, but he's not going to leave you where you are. He wants you to lead.
Right.
He wants to lead you where you need to be in him.
Exactly. And so if you're talking to somebody about God, or you're talking to a family member, because there's so many cultural issues today and Christians just aren't standing up to it.
Right.
Oh, I need to support this person in their life. No, you don't. You need to talk to them about Jesus, because they're going to die and go to hell. Because here's what I believe. If you support some of the cultural issues that are going on with your family, friends, or neighbors or whatever, you don't actually believe in God's word.
Right.
I'm sorry, because you don't see them going to hell. And if you saw that, you would totally change your mindset on
that.
Isaiah 40:31 says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. Yeah. They're going to soar high on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. I love that. And I believe that.
You think God will give me that for my marathon, where I will run and not grow weary? Because there's going to be a point like mile 20.
And you just all of a sudden sprout wings and you fly?
That'd be awesome. Maybe I could qualify for Boston.
Maybe. Fly over it.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
2 Corinthians 4:8-10 and then verse 16 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Meaning, you know, guess what? Things aren't going to be easy.
No.
We are going to be pressed, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day.
And you can only run if you keep your eyes on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
You can't run distracted, because I think the Christian community is running distracted, and we're going to talk a little bit about that next week. And the only way to run is keeping your eyes on Jesus.
Yep.
So the question I ask is Jesus your only focus? Because if he's not, you're going to have a hard time running. You're going to be down. You're going to be depressed. You're going to think of your past. Everything's going to weight you down.
Right.
You're not going to be stripped of anything.
Yep.
You've got to strip yourself of those things that weight you down and put your focus on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I love Tony Evans, because he is so, like, boom.
Yep.
In your face. He says, when you go through hard times, we think that we are being punished. Not true. When you go through hard times, Jesus is preparing you to run harder, and you can only run if you keep your eyes on him.
Yep.
He's right.
Yep.
He's 100% right. So my encouragement to you this week is to read Hebrews 11 and 12. And my encouragement this week is to keep your eyes on Jesus for everything that you do. Absolutely. Strip yourself of your sins. Strip yourself of any weight that entangles you and put your target back on Jesus Christ. So there we go. Week one down. Well, we got the Walk for Life coming up.
Yes, we do.
It's coming up on May the 4th. And you can...
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my word. So if you want to register, you can help, you can help if you want to walk, if you want to support somebody, you can do that. If you'd like to get one of their t-shirts, you need to do that by Wednesday, April the 10th. And you can go to newpathprc.com and you can register. And get yourself ready to go. And then this Sunday at noon, we have pizza with the staff. Yep. If you're brand new to RCC or been coming, say, the last couple of years, yep. We haven't done this in a couple of years, you need to register.
Richwood.church/sign up.
Tell us how many is coming.
We need to have enough pizzas because I want pizza.
Yeah, we're going to have some pizza together and talk with you guys, just to spend some time with you. And then this Sunday again. At 5 o'clock.
For the next 4 weeks.
For four Sunday nights in a row, from 5 to 6, we are doing the Crazy Cycle Marriage Series. So, should be good. We got like 30 people signed up for
it's
gonna
it. It's going to be
great. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
We had a few signed up yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep. So, good stuff coming up.
Yes, it is.
And we got the total eclipse of the sun coming up.
Total eclipse of the sun.
And I'm the moon.
And I'm the sun.
And I'm going to eclipse you today.
You are. That's crazy. We also have tomorrow night.
We do.
Night of prayer.
Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome. You
I
wouldn't have been here.
Forgot about yeah. it. Yeah, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, right here at RCC. Be our monthly night of prayer, second Tuesday of each month. So,
boy, that came quick.
It did.
Early, because, yeah, it was early, it seemed like.
It seemed like it was quick, but there were 5 weeks in March.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, crazy. Time's just traveling faster.
It is getting faster, and I'm getting... older.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I just figured we'd go out like we started, me singing.
At least it's not Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Right? I won't do that, but.
How's the words go to that again?
I don't know. I can't remember it anymore.
Does it start off like Find a Way or?
Turn Around.
How's that go again? I can't remember.
I'm not gonna sing it.
Come on, do it. Nope. Just do it one more time. You've done it all week. Do it one more time.
Nope.
I won't make fun of you.
We have any other announcements?
Yeah. Brandy's about to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
It's not going to happen.
Come on, man.
I'll do it when we're done. I don't want, you know.
I don't want it when it's done because nobody's going to be able to hear it.
I know. I don't want to hurt anybody's ears. It'd be like staring at the eclipse without glasses on.
And then you go crazy.
And then you go crazy. If I sing it one more time, people may go crazy.
So other than the eclipse,
yeah.
Anything else coming down for you that you're excited about?
Or? Yeah, I am.
That's it, right?
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely. Yeah, so after the eclipse today.
Yes.
We are going to, I'm going to smoke a tri-tip.
Get it off.
I'm going to smoke a tri-tip.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, so I'm going to season it before we watch the eclipse, and that way I got some new seasoning from Meat Church. It's called Blanco, and apparently it's really good on steak. So
Blanco. Gotcha.
We're going to find out. Apparently it's like a salt, pepper, garlic mix with butter as well.
Garlic.
Oh. You are so bland.
Ugh.
You're so bland.
Thank you.
You're like the moon, just bland. Blah.
I'll tell you what, though. The moon's going to block it out today.
It will.
And guess what? For one time in years, it'll be prominent during the day.
It will be. So, well, hey, thanks for listening, hanging in there. If you hung in past the first 10 minutes, we commend you for that because.
What's that song that Bonnie Tyler sang?
I don't know.
Total Eclipse of the what?
You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.